content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anadine Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book Month by Month Gardening in the Carolinas by Bob Polomsky. And last time we left off in May with care, and we were now doing the care of roses. And this starts with old garden roses, species and shrub roses, come in a wide range of sizes and shapes. Generally, allow the natural shape of the plant to guide your pruning cuts. Hold off on pruning them until they've achieved a decent size, perhaps after the second or third growing season. Here are a few pruning tips. Shorten long, vigorous canes by up to one-third to encourage production of flower-bearing side shoots. Tip prune last year's lateral on side shoots to 6 inches in length. On established plants, remove one or two of the oldest canes that produce few, if any, flowers, maintaining a balance between old and new growths. To avoid pruning flower beds, remember that one-time bloomers or roses that produce their heaviest flush on old wood should be pruned after flowering in the spring. For shrub roses that produce attractive hip or rose fruits, such as hybrid rugosa roses, prune only some of the shoots, preserving some of the hip-bearing branches. And for shrubs and trees, to prevent damage to shrubs and trees while mowing, surround them with a 2 to 3 inch ring of mulch. Keep the mulch a hand's width from the trunk. Apply the mulch as far as the drip line or outermost branches. And for shrubs, now they've separated, so now we'll have shrubs and then I'll read for trees. As French or lace cap hydrangeas age, renew the plants to encourage new shoots. Remove no more than one-third of the oldest shoots at the base immediately after flowering. They will be replaced by more vigorous, younger shoots, which will flower the following season. Alternatively, grow reblooming, called remontant, mophead cultivars that produce flowers on current season's growth. They include Balmer, David Ramsey, Decatur Blue, Luvumama, Madame Emily Moliere, Oak Hill, Penny Mac, and the lace cap Lilacina. In addition to these remontants, mopheads, select other hydrangeas that produce flowers on the current season's growth, including panicle hydrangea and smooth hydrangea. Continue pruning spring flowering shrubs as their flowers fade. The new growth that develops will mature over the summer and fall and produce flowers next spring. Not all azaleas have to be pruned. If they've overgrown their location or have dead branches, they will benefit from careful trimming. Take out individual branches with thinning cuts, removing the oldest branches at the base. Prune rhododendrons immediately after flowering. Snap off old flower trusses. Remove them carefully so you won't damage next year's flower buds. And trees, the care of trees. Remove dead or diseased wood at any time. If you cut into diseased wood, disinfect your pruning shears with Lysol, which is less corrosive than the traditional mixture of water and household bleach. At 4 parts water to 1 part bleach. This can prevent the spread of disease to other branches. Palm leaves die naturally, and new leaves are produced from the growing point or head of the palm. Prune old, dead palm fronds to tidy up the tree. Leave the leaf base attached to the trunk so the fibers of the trunk won't be torn away. Do not injure the growing point or the entire tree will die. And for vines and ground covers. Mulch vines and ground covers to suppress weeds and to conserve moisture. Organic mulches will break down and enrich the soil with nutrients. Create supports for annual vines before they become a tangled mess. Use strings, trellises, or other supports, making sure that they will be strong enough to support the weight of the vines. Train newly planted vines onto their vertical supports by securing one end of the string to the support and the other end to a rock or a stick driven next to the vine. As the vine grows, use soft twine or nylon to tie the vine to the support until it begins to twine or cling. Limit pruning to plants that have already finished flowering. And for water gardens, remove faded, dying, or dead leaves from water lilies, lotuses, and bog plants. And our next topic is fertilize. And for annuals, continue to make applications of a fast-release fertilizer every 4 to 6 weeks if necessary. Follow the label instructions. Water the fertilizer in to make it available to the plants. When reworking flower beds, use a slow-release fertilizer, especially in sandy soils. The nutrients are released over an extended period, perhaps 3 or 4 months, depending on the product. Use as recommended on the label. And for bulbs, lightly fertilize summer bulbs when their shoots emerge using a slow-release fertilizer. Follow the manufacturer's instructions regarding the amount and frequency. Water thoroughly afterward. There is no benefit to fertilizing spring flowering bulbs during or after bloom. In fact, as the soil warms up after flowering, nitrogen in the fertilizer can encourage the development of the fungal disease Fusarium, rotting bulbs infected with fusarium have a sour smell. And for edibles, side dress sweet corn when it is 8 to 12 inches high, and again when the tassel is just beginning to show. Use a nitrogen fertilizer such as calcium nitrate, blood meal, or cottonseed meal. And for lawns, wait until fall to fertilize your cool season lawn. St. Augustine grass can be fertilized this month with a slow-release nitrogen fertilizer, which will help reduce chinch bugs, and gray leaf spot problems. Perennials and ornamental grasses. Evaluate your perennials for color and growth to determine the need for fertilizer. To encourage more growth, apply a slow-release fertilizer. And for shrubs, trees, and vines and ground covers, look for these signs of plants that are deficient in minerals. Stunted growth, smaller than normal leaves, poor leaf color, and early leaf drop. Evaluate your shrubs and trees for color and growth to determine the need for fertilizer. To encourage more growth, fertilize with a slow-release fertilizer. Water well immediately afterward. Avoid excessive fertilization. High levels of nutrients, particularly nitrogen, will encourage leafy shoot growth at the expense of flower buds. And last on this list is water gardens. When the water temperature stays above 70 degrees Fahrenheit, fertilize all water lilies at least once a month, or follow label instructions. With a tablet form of fertilizer especially formulated for aquatics. It should contain both slow and fast-release nitrogen. Follow the manufacturer's instructions regarding the amounts and frequency of application. And our next topic is watering. And for annuals, newly set transplants should not be allowed to dry out, but keep the leaves dry. Extended periods of wetness on the leaves promotes the growth and spread of diseases. For bulbs, water newly planted bulbs to settle them in. Apply a shallow 2 to 3 inch layer of mulch to conserve moisture, suppress weeds, and keep the soil cool. For edibles, water deeply, keeping the leaves of your vegetables dry. Invest in soaker hoses or drip irrigation. Seep irrigate with plastic milk jugs. Pinch holes in the sides of a jug with a large nail, spacing them about 2 inches apart. Bury the jug, leaving the neck above the soil. Fill the jug with water. Solutions of liquid fertilizer may be used to fertilize at the same time, and screw the cap on firmly. That's a good idea. Interesting. And next, lawns. Water your lawn on an as-needed basis. Keep newly seeded or sprigged areas moist. rely on signs of moisture stress described in this this month's plan section, which we'll get to determine which parts of the lawn need water. And perennials and ornamental grasses. When watering, apply sufficient moisture to soak the soil deeply, wetting the root zone of your plants. Instead of following the calendar, water when the top 2 or 3 inches of soil feels dry. And roses. Water your roses efficiently this summer when hot weather arrives. The general recommendation is to apply 1 to 2 inches of water on a weekly basis. 1 inch of water is equivalent to applying 5 to 6 gallons of water to a 3-foot square area with the rose bush in the center. With clay soils, which hold more water than sandy soils, apply this amount once a week. With sandy soils, however, it's best to split it into 2 applications of 3 gallons, each spaced a few days apart. Adjust the amount to account for rainfall and prevailing weather conditions. If the weather has been cloudy and rains have been adequate, watering may not be necessary. And for shrubs, avoid watering your shrubs with a sprinkler. In addition to wasting water and watering weeds, wetting the leaves will encourage disease outbreaks. For trees, water newly planted trees. Research shows that the establishment period for trees is 3 months per inch of trunk caliper, or trunk diameter, measured 6 inches above the ground. In hardiness zone 9, 6 months in zone 7 and 8, and 12 months in cooler regions. Water on a weekly or as-needed basis by testing the soil and root ball for moisture. And for vines and ground covers. May can be a dry month. Water newly planted vines and ground covers. And our next topic is problem solving. And first, for annuals, aphids, spider mites, whiteflies, snails, and slugs can be a problem. Watch out for cutworms, which feed on plant stems near the soil surface. In their wake, they leave the fallen stems gnawed off at the base. They feed at night, so use your flashlight to inspect the seedlings in the dark. Hand pick them when you see them. To control cutworms, till up the soil thoroughly before planting. Protect the transplants with a stiff paper collar made out of a paper cup, with the bottom cut out and pushed 1 to 2 inches deep into the ground and about 1 to 2 inches high, or create a collar with strips of cardboard 2 inches wide by 8 inches long and stapled into a band that is placed around the plants. Press the collar about 1 inch into the soil. Neem extract and other insecticides will also control cutworms. Avoid leaf spot diseases by watering your annuals at the soil line, keeping the leaves dry. Proper spacing with plenty of air movement will also reduce fungal infections. And for bulbs, there are several insect pests that afflict bulbs. Watch out for aphids and spider mites. Japanese beetles skeletonize the leaves of canna, dahlias, and others. They can be hand-picked and discarded in a jar of soapy water. Flower thrips are tiny, 1/16th of an inch long, yellowish-brown to amber-colored insects that damage the flowers of dahlia, gladiolas, lilies, and other by rasping the tissues and then sucking up oozing sap. Their feeding causes buds to become streaked with brown. Often the buds fail to open or the flowers look distorted. To check for thrips, open up a suspected flower over a sheet of white paper and search for what looks like tiny scurrying slivers of wood. Thrips are difficult to control. Fortunately, they're preyed upon by minute pirate bugs, ladybugs, lacewings, and big-eyed bugs. Remove and discard any infested flowers. Apply recommended insecticides. Several leaf spots will affect the leaves of summer bulbs. Depending on the level of infection, fungicides may not be necessary. Remove any heavily infested leaves and discard them. Hand pull or hoe weeds in beds. Pre-emergent herbicides will control weeds before they emerge. Make sure that the bulbs are listed on the herbicide label. And for edibles, look for curled or puckered leaves on your vegetables caused by aphids. Slugs and snails produce large, ragged holes on leafy crops, especially lettuce and cabbage. Watch out for leaf-footed bugs. Green-striped cucumber beetles attack the leaves, stems, and fruit of beans, corn, cucumber, melon, pumpkins, and squash. They transmit bacterial wilt disease. Expect two or more generations per year. Hand-picking is time-consuming, but effective. Fabric row covers, such as spun-bonded polyester, provide an effective barrier between the insect and young plants. Remove the covers during flowering to ensure pollination. Insecticides are available. Early blight is a disease of tomatoes. Look for small, shrunken, dark brown spots with yellow halos on the lower leaves and stem. Eventually, the spots enlarge to form a bullseye. Mulch to keep the soil-borne fungal spores from splashing onto the leaves and avoid wetting the leaves when watering. If necessary, apply a fungicide. Squash fruit rot is a fungal disease that attacks summer squash, blossoms, and fruit. Avoid wetting fruit when watering and avoid overcrowding plants. Powdery mildew infects beans, cantaloupes, cucumbers, okra, peas, and squash. Leaves are covered with patches of whitish to grayish powdery growth. They eventually turn yellow, then brown, and then dry up. Plant-resistant varieties and avoid crowding. If necessary, use fungicides. Verticillium wilt is a cool season disease that attacks tomatoes, potatoes, eggplants, and peppers. It does not occur in South Carolina. Fusarium wilt is a warm season disease that only attacks tomatoes. The best defense against both of these is genetic resistance. Select varieties that have VF after their name, signifying that they are resistant to both of these diseases. Big Beef, Celebrity, OG50, Pilgrim, and Quick Pick are a few possibilities. Prevent weed seed germination. Destroy weeds that sprout before they bear seed. Do not use mulches or compost contaminated with weed seeds. And for lawns, in the coastal plains, look for tunneling and burrowing activity of mole crickets. Mark these areas for treatment with an insecticide in late June and July. Southern cinch bugs are notorious pests of St. Augustine grass that may also attack Bermuda grass, centipede grass, and zoysia grass, but cause them less harm. Damage is mainly caused by the nymphs, which suck sap and inject a toxin that causes the leaves to turn yellow and die. As they feed, the dead areas slowly enlarge and die. And we will continue with this topic, and I'll start over at that one in our next podcast. We're run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. And we hope you'll join us again next time in the next podcast for continuation. Thank you.